Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how very grateful I am. You and I are getting together on this karmic ride of ours called life. I'm very, very grateful. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to talk a little bit about thinking today. How's that? And I think we do a lot of thinking without ever really knowing that we're thinking. And we'll talk a little bit about what it means to think. There's lots of questions and misnomers about meditation and thinking. It amazes me how people are about the way they think of meditation. It actually surprises me. It does. It really does surprise me how people think about the idea of sitting there wanting nothing with all of their heart and what they're supposed to do with their mind. We'll talk about it. I want to remind you that these radio programs, like everything I do on Aspire, from radio to TV to commentaries, podcasts, videocasts, oh, golly, my hospice work is all there due to your support. If not for your loving support, these offerings could not be made to the community or to the world. And I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us to sustain our work as we, work at helping people who need help. There's so many more people here on the earth due to overpopulation, and there's a lot of situations, conditions that are going on that are very painful for people, and I do my very best to move into those areas of their life, like dying, leaving their bodies. End of life is the materia medica would like to call it, and I try to help the families and the people around who are dealing with that. And it is a challenging experience, to say the least. So your donations help me do that. Anyway, become a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you'll see there on the main page support. Down at the bottom, you'll see why support Aspire. You can click on either one of those and you will get a drop-down menu, and it will tell you all about Aspire, what we do, where your donations go, your tax-deductible gift, your receipts, your blessings for becoming a sponsor. You get the message of the month each and every month. You'll have access to podcast, videocast, and commentaries twice a month. You will also have access to all of my TV discourses that I did over the years. They're very, very interesting. They're important if you're working on yourself, if you're interested in understanding the way of the heart and that whole thing. So it's all there for you on the Aspire website, from Nobody Likes You Anyway to, oh golly, the Eightfold Path, the Beatitudes, the sound of one hand clapping. It's all there for you. And all you have to do is take a look and listen. I think you'll find them very helpful. So thinking, what is thinking? The process of using one's mind to consider or reason about something, according to the dictionary. Using thought or rational judgment to be intelligent. Really? I know a lot of very smart people who aren't intelligent. Intelligence, to me, is the combining of the spiritual heart with a mind that is no longer thinking. That becomes intelligence. Thinking, to me, is about just the process of what they say here of reason. Trying to understand something through logic and reasoning. Our mental acuity is based in this, which comes from our genetic heritage. You have all sorts of ways of using the mind. And typically, we don't use it well. And there's so many misnomers about thinking. Let's get into the first one. The first one comes from Leonard. He does not tell me where he lives. I listen to you every day. Thank you. You're welcome. How do I not think and learn to meditate? Leonard. There is this I start off with you, Leonard, because this is the great misnomer that I hear going around and around and around. There is a great misnomer of thinking that meditation is about not thinking and having no thoughts in your head. That would be pretty difficult to do and unreasonable. Your mind is always going to trundle off doing something, always. But if you practice the methods that I have offered and other meditation teachers have offered, you will start to realize that you don't have to pay attention to your mind. It's going to go off and do all sorts of crazy things, things that it wants to think about and annoy you with and perjure your life with. And it will taunt you and try to make you believe that this is right and this is wrong and this is good and this is bad and you shouldn't have gone here and you shouldn't have gone there. And it'll taunt you and just push you over and over and over again into rational thought. But when you can be passive towards your thinking, and I used to say when I was formally teaching, if you were as passive towards your thoughts as you are, what I'm trying to teach you, you would be enlightened by now. But people don't listen. They want to think, and they think automatically, as I like to call it. Auto-thinking comes from one thing, and if you understand the source, then it will help you greatly. The source is my emotions. Now, clinical psychology will tell you that first there is thought, then there is emotion. But that is not true at all. And some clinical psychologists who are meditators now are starting to understand what I've been teaching for years and other meditation teachers have been teaching for years. It starts with your emotions, your bodily emotions, and how they are relegated from the DNA of us, and they come to form thoughts from their emotionality, from the DNA that is trying to get you and me to survive. Survival is everything for us. It is very, very interesting. We think that if we are going to sit there and be quiet and calm our mind down and get rid of our thoughts, we are meditating. That is not true. It is about, first of all, being passive, Leonard. You have to sit quietly and be passive towards your thoughts and let them display themselves over and over and over again without being reactive to them. This means you sit there in a passive indifference that they are even there. And they're going to throw everything in the kitchen sink on you. Everything. They're going to try to make you frightened. They're going to try to lure you. They're going to try to seduce you. They're going to do everything they can to make it difficult for you to meditate. Because the ego does not want you to pay attention to anything but the ego. It's a narcissist thing for the ego. It wants you to worry. It's the way we have set into motions the neurons and synapses of our brain. And this just goes on and on and on. Now, in meditation, once you have learned how to just sit and let your thoughts go wild without being captivated by them, lured by them, seduced by them, now you're beginning a new process. And this will take you somewhere else. That's all I can say. Meditation will take you somewhere else. The thoughts and the craziness of our minds will continue to do whatever they're going to continue to do, on and on and on and on. That's what they do. But you will not be subject to them any longer. You will no longer be there to be the subject and the, well, what do we want to say, the patsy of your own thoughts. You will be somewhere else. And that somewhere else is where a great goodness lies, a great beauty lies. Then after your meditation, you will realize, I have to get simple. I have three things I teach my students: simplicity, solitude, and silence. If you can make your life simple and you do not want more than what is happening now, you simply are allowing your life to be what it is, and you simplify your life by no longer complicating it with desire, ambition, and pride, you will move into the solitude of the heart. This heart is not obviously the human heart. It is the spiritual heart, the heart of love that lives within you. And as you sit in this spiritual heart, and you sit in it with absolutely no thought whatsoever, rational judgment, or any of that other stuff, you will be born in intelligence. This intelligence supersedes your mental acuity or the ideal of having a high IQ. It will absolutely reduce it to nothing. You will start to really feel and know the meaning of what it is to be, and this is the third part, silent. You will be quiet. And then you can learn how to live in silence, to say very little, and move very deeply into yourself while you're not formally sitting in meditation, and have experiences that exceed human thinking. Now, to get all this, to do all this, takes practice and a commitment to the process of simplicity, solitude, and silence. So, Leonard, it isn't about getting rid of your thoughts, my dear. It really isn't. And don't ever let your mind fool you into thinking that, well, you can't get rid of us, those thoughts, you know, and you'll never meditate because you can't get rid of us and all of that. You have to tame the bull. You have to tame that big raging bull of thoughts that you and I have that rule our life and tell us that we have things to do. You know how when you're asleep at night and you're awakened by, oh, did I do this? Oh, did I remember to do that? Oh, I got to do this tomorrow. Oh, got to do that tomorrow. Instead of being all caught up in that, you simply allow love to live you. You live in the solitude. You don't let your mind push you around. Your intuition will grow by leaps and bounds. And you will start to have information you never had before. And it will change the way you live your life, I guarantee you. Just something for you to think about. I hope that helps you, Leonard. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question. My thinking is crucial to me. Meditation seems to be a threat to my thinking. Raymond from New York. Yes, Raymond, you are right. Meditation is a threat to the way you and I think in our normal genetic patterns. You're right. How crucial is your thinking? What makes your thinking crucial? It probably, even though you didn't say it here, I would assume it has something to do with the whole idea of your survival, both monetarily and socially. So, Raymond, I understand what you're saying. You're saying that you feel like you can't meditate or shouldn't meditate because it'll ruin your life. Not so. In fact, it will offer you the life you've been missing. The life of a great love. This great love that lives within you is extremely beautiful. I don't know how to describe the exquisiteness of silence. There is no way for me to be able to say to you, and this is how it works, and this is how it is. I don't know how to say that to you, but your thinking is not as crucial. Your human thinking, your mental acuity, the way you use your mind is not as crucial as you might think as far as living is concerned. You're either a hammer or you're a nail in this world. The hammer pounds the nail. And you're either the one doing the pounding in your brain, or you're the one who is the nail getting pounded by your brain. But there is something more than this hammer and nail thing. You could be that which does not need to pound or be pounded by thought. You can have transcending experiences. They're not thoughts, though. They're transcending experiences. And they're awakening experiences. And they build an acumen inside of us, an ability to see things the way they are and to have a very, ability to recognize that which is and that which isn't. Just that is enough for meditation to be very, very important to us, to understand that which is and that which is not, that which is real, authentic, pertinent to our life, our life as a spiritual being, and that which is not. You see, for the most part, Raymond, we're just looking to survive. And we're so afraid we won't. And because we're in this definite fear that we won't survive, we sustain tremendous, what I call, mental and emotional psychological injuries. We're running from something. If you look at your thoughts, all of them, for what they are, you will see they are all running from something. They're running from death. They're running from failure. They're running from the idea of trying to get someone off your back to relieve yourself. They're looking for some kind of relief. At the same time that you are and I are running from something in our thoughts, we are running towards something that we think will alleviate whatever it is that we're running from. So we're constantly running away and to, away and to. And we never get there, not in our entire life, because even if you find that thing you think will relieve you of a problem, there's another problem right ahead of it, and that place that you arrived at is another problem that you have to think about, because everything that we think and every place that we arrive at has consequences to it, and we don't want to see that. So we use our mind to try to escape what it is that is going on within us, and we miss, and we ruin our life, absolutely ruin it. Most people don't really understand that about ruining their life and what that means. Meditation is a way to understand the nature of your life. It is about awakening to the heart. It is about understanding what life is really all about. It is about the goodness of your being. And it has nothing at all to do with getting something you want. That's just not in the cards. So I understand the threat you think is there, but it's a threat that your thoughts are giving to you and your ego is giving to you, and it's not a real threat at all. You don't really need to worry about it because it's not really happening the way you think it's happening. And once that is understood within you, then something of the other shore can reach you. You have to have some amount of curiosity in the beginning of what it is like to go beyond your thoughts. And then the next thing that usually happens in all of that is that you begin to realize and see within yourself that you have the no thought thought. You have impressions that are deeply significant to your life, and they bring about not only the idea of a new life and a way to live in a different kind of way, but they also show you the way, the truth, and the light of you, which is very important. Raymond, there is nothing I could say here on the radio program, or even if you were sitting here, to probably convince you of what I've just offered to you, but at least it's been offered to you. And you can sit with it for a while and see how it maturates within you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This question's from Giomi. I hope I got that right, Giomi. Why should I not think as you say? It seems frightening to me not to have thoughts. What will overcome me if my thoughts are gone, Giomi? Why should you not think? Well, look where it's gotten you. I mean, it's got to be obvious to you. One thing that is difficult about a spiritual practice, an authentic one, is that there is no rhyme or reason for it in the way, you know, people think. I can't change things for you and all of that. I can't say to you, okay, well, don't do this and don't do that, and this will happen and that won't happen. You've got to see it for yourself. You've got to feel that great sense of futility. If a person doesn't have a tremendous sense of futility about their life and about everything that goes on in their life, they will miss the whole thing. They will miss the beauty and the relevance and the radiance of a spiritual practice. Don't you want to know anything about what's just a little bit beyond your own thinking? Aren't you at all interested? Are you curious? Is this all there is? I think around and around and around in little circles. Isn't there something more? Isn't there something that means more? Isn't there something more sustaining? Isn't there? And if you start to look at it from that point of view, and you have a little sense of curiosity, wow, something might click for you. In the beginning, it's curiosity. Then as you go a little further, you start to realize there is something more. And that draws you in, because that something more can't be thought in the conventional pedestrian mentality. So now you look at it and you come to that place where you want to go a little further, a little deeper, because that's where it's at. That's where, you know, the love is at. You start to feel drawn to it because it is all about love. Nothing less, nothing less, and everything that is the more. And once that little process starts, then you're not afraid anymore at all. And you can do this. You start to realize there is a beauty behind the veil of my thinking. You're thinking, everybody's thinking. And you can start to understand that beauty as the realization of the totality of your entire life. Now you have something magnificent, something otherworldly. And it makes your life so different than the way it used to be, because now things aren't important to you, and you see things for how they relate to your human side, but that has nothing to do with you. And as you begin to penetrate a little deeper, you see that there are things that render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. You know, you need, your body needs clothes and food and shelter, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. Nothing wrong with any of that. But you see it in proportion to what is real and what is authentic, and you're not making more out of it than it needs to be, and you start to see the love that's behind everything in this life. Gotta go. Jiomi, I hope that helps. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I'll be back on the air next week. I hope you'll join me. Have a wonderful weekend. And know deep inside how deeply grateful I am you listened today. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.